Our first reading for this evening is from the sixth chapter of 2 Samuel. And it was told King David, "The Lord has blessed the household of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the Ark of God." So David went and brought up the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. And when those who bore the Ark of the Lord had gone six steps, he sacrificed an ox and a fattened animal. And David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the horn. As the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And when David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts and distributed among all the people, the whole multitude of Israel, both men and women, a cake of bread, a portion of meat, and a cake of raisins to each one. Then all the people departed, each to his house. And David returned to bless his household. But Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How the king of Israel honored himself today, uncovering himself today before the eyes of his servants, female servants, as one of the vulgar fellows shamelessly uncovers himself." And David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord who chose me above your father and above all his house to appoint me as prince over Israel, the people of the Lord. And I will make merry before the Lord. I will make myself yet more contemptible than this, and I will be abased in your eyes. But by the female servants of whom you have spoken, by them I shall be held in honor. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Thanks be to God." Our second reading is from the first chapter of the Gospel of Luke. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God." The baby, John the Baptist, leaped for joy. It's fascinating, especially when we consider John the Baptist was still in his mother's womb. He was a six-month-old baby in Elizabeth's womb. When Mary's greeting reached Elizabeth's ears, John leaped for joy. It would be very easy to dismiss this passage. If you have ever carried a child in your womb, you know they wiggle around all kinds of reasons. If a baby gets uncomfortable, they will stretch a leg here or push out an arm there. If mom had a spicy food for dinner, baby may be a bit agitated. It would be so easy to just say the baby, John the Baptist, was just wiggling around a bit. But if we know when a baby is uncomfortable, why can we not also know when a baby is joyful? If we know when a baby is a bit agitated because of spicy food, then what is stopping Elizabeth from knowing her baby is full of joy because the Christ was near? John, of course, leapt for joy. How could he not? The Christ was just a few feet away from him in Mary's womb. In our Old Testament reading this evening, we had another prophet of God also leaping for joy. In tonight's reading, King David stripped himself down to his linen ephod, which would look to us like a very droopy diaper, and King David leapt around in joy like a madman. And some people thought he was mad, and they ridiculed him. But David wasn't mad. He was filled with a joy that could not be bottled up except by dancing and singing. You see, David, just like John the Baptist, was also standing in the presence of God. And that is what brought such joy. David had just brought the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. And it was on top of the Ark of the Covenant that God said he would physically dwell amongst his people. If they needed to find God, well, they knew where to look for God. He was sitting between the two angels on top of the Ark of the Covenant. He was sitting there, nestled as if in a womb of angels' wings and gold. God's coming in the flesh on top of the Ark of the Covenant, and literally in human flesh, in the baby Jesus, always brought great joy and great celebration. That can be pretty easy to forget sometimes, that Christ's coming to us brings joy. This time of year, you may feel like Christ's coming is only bringing you extra food to make, a lot of cards to write, an overflow of gifts to buy, too many people to see, etc., etc., etc. Well, don't blame Jesus coming for that. How you celebrate his coming, that's up to you. His coming, though, should not bring you headaches. It should bring you great joy. A joy that is far more than a mere emotion. Our emotions ebb and flow in this life. The joy that David expressed and the joy John expressed were far more than just because life was going well. Our human emotions come and go, back and forth all the time. Some days we're happy, some days we're sad. That's not the type of joy we're talking about today. True joy, lasting joy, eternal joy is found only in Christ. It's easy to get tricked into thinking that joy and happiness only come when life is good and there are no problems. But that's not true. You can be filled with the joy of Christ even when you are burying your spouse or your child. Of course, you will be beyond sad, and your heart may literally feel like it has cracked in two. But deep down, within your very soul, within your faith in Christ, is a hope that only Jesus' resurrection can bring in those dark days. In those moments of life when our hearts feel ripped in two, Jesus Christ is still there in those moments. In fact, he is with you especially in those moments to put your pieces back together again through him. Having a joy in Christ is much more than having a smile on your face. Having joy in Christ is much more than feeling like you need to fake a smile in a room when you really don't feel like faking a smile. Having a joy in Christ buries itself deep within the womb of your soul, and in the midst of the darkest days that you face, will not allow you to have no hope. Because you, as a Christian, have a lasting hope in Christ that nothing can take away from you. You have a hope and joy this world cannot steal away from you. You have a hope and joy that the circumstances of this life, no matter what you go through, cannot be taken away from you. Because even in the face of disease, sadness, hardship, and even death, your life in Christ always will remain firm, intact, unmovable, eternal. When your joy is in Christ and because of Christ, what can take that away from you? King David didn't exactly have the easiest of lives. People were jealous of David's military success. And soon after he danced his heart out in joy at the presence of God, King Saul tried to murder David repeatedly. But no matter what this world threw at David, during his darkest, loneliest days, he still had joy in his God, knowing that his God would never abandon him. There may have been less dancing in David's life as the years went on, but the joy, that burning ember inside of him, of faith in his God, could never be put out. Because that joy was not grounded in emotion. It was centered upon God. And John the Baptist, also not the easiest of lives. You try wearing camel's hair and eating only locusts and wild honey all your days and see how joyful you are. But that's the point. John's joy did not flow from wearing nice clothes or eating fancy foods. Those things pass away. His joy was in Christ. His hope was in Christ. Even after John was put in prison, even as the world tried its hardest to squash John's faith and hope and joy by beheading him, this world could not win. Because right now, at this moment, John and all the saints who have passed before are standing in the same presence of Jesus Christ himself and are enjoying heavenly joys for all eternity. And they are not alone. You belong to a very select group. Because tonight you will come to the altar, and in the bread and in the wine, you will hold the Christ himself who will be given to you. Just like Mary, you will hold the Christ. Just like Elizabeth, you will rejoice with overwhelming amazement that your God is willing to condescend to come to you in his flesh and in his blood. Just like David, your heart can leap with amazement at the graciousness of God who bears all our sins and asks for nothing in return. And like John, your joy in Christ, your eternal joy in Christ, will always allow you to persevere through trying times, through difficult days, and even through death itself. Our joy is in Christ. And nothing, absolutely nothing, has the power to take that eternal joy away from you. Amen. And now may the peace of our God, which surpasses our understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.